Every year, the IRS collects about $4 trillion in taxes and gives out more than $1 trillion in refunds. That's a lot of money changing hands. I am Rob West, and whenever there's a lot of cash to be had, well, that's when scam artists come out of the woodwork. And this tax season is no different. Today, I'll tell you what they're up to so you don't get taken. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Romans 13:1 is a good reminder of how Christians should deal with civil authority. It reads, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." And of course, being subject to includes paying taxes. We should always pay what we rightly owe, and we should rightly expect a refund when we've paid too much. Unfortunately, scammers don't see it that way and are always on the lookout for ways to separate you from your money at tax time. The easiest way to do that is with tax refund fraud. If scam artists get a hold of your Social Security number, they can file a false tax return and get your refund. Actually, they often get more than a legitimate refund by claiming low income and a lot of deductions. Later, when you file, the IRS kicks back your return and you're left with a mess to sort out. You can avoid this by getting an identity protection PIN from the IRS before filing. It's a 6-digit number to verify your identity that only you and the IRS know. You can sign up for a tax PIN number at irs.gov. Another way con artists are using the tax system to defraud people is with fake charity scams. They set up fraudulent charities that lure good-hearted people into making donations. Donors may think they can claim those contributions on their tax returns, but when the IRS discovers a charity is fake, it could set you up for an audit. To prevent this, it's always a good idea to thoroughly check out any nonprofit organization you're thinking about donating to. The Bible tells us we're to be wise as serpents. The IRS has set up a tax-exempt organization search tool so you can check out legitimate charities. You can find that at irs.gov as well. You can also find legitimate charities at charitynavigator.org, ministrywatch.com, and with the National Christian Foundation at ncfgiving.com. Another way scam artists can get you at tax time is with so-called ghost tax preparers. If that sounds scary, it should. This is when a scammer claims to be a legitimate tax professional. They usually make extravagant claims about how they can get you a big refund, and people fall for it. They may file a fraudulent return and have the refund check go to them instead of the taxpayer, or they'll just charge a big fee up front. Either way, they'll disappear and the taxpayer is left with a mess. Here's how you can spot a ghost tax preparer. First, they won't sign the return or include a preparer tax identification number. That, by the way, is against the law. They may also ask for a payment without providing a receipt. They often will also falsify income to get more tax credits or claim phony deductions to get a bigger refund. They'll also sign up to have that refund direct deposited to their bank instead of the taxpayers. The IRS has set up a database where you can check to see if anyone claiming to be a legitimate tax preparer is on the up and up. Again, go to irs.gov and look for the Enrolled Agent search tool. The IRS also says you should carefully look over your return once your preparer has completed it. If you have questions, by all means ask them, and make sure you verify the routing and bank account numbers on the return to make sure any refund will actually get to you. You also have to be on the alert for IRS phone scams. These come in all varieties. For example, you may get a call about a tax bill you knew nothing about. The caller claims to be an IRS agent and warns that you'll be arrested or your Social Security benefits will be suspended if you don't pay immediately. These scam artists can even change their caller ID to say IRS, and they may even have all or just the last 4 digits of your Social Security number. All to make the scam look legitimate, but don't be fooled. The IRS will never contact you by phone. If you get a call like that, just hang up. Keep in mind, they will contact you by mail first in every situation. So those are your tax scams to watch out for this year. Your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The world's strongest man. Ever seen those competitions on sports television? Usually they involve huge, hulking men doing things that seem absolutely ridiculous, like pulling a semi-truck with a chain or racing each other while carrying fridges. You can't watch things like that without being in awe at the raw physical strength of these men. But you know, even the strongest man in the world is nothing compared to the strongest strong one, the Lord Yahweh, the creator of all things. And this is what we read in Deuteronomy 32. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. And not only is God the rock, he's also upright and just. And that's why he can be our refuge and hope. Grow stronger in God's Word daily with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
Tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, I know how this works. There's a financial question you've been wrestling with, something that you're really praying through, or you've been thinking about, maybe you've been talking to some friends or family members about. You just don't know how to make that decision or move forward with confidence. Well, we'd love to hear about it. Let's help you apply biblical wisdom to the financial decisions you're thinking about today. Phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. We'll head to the phones here in just a moment. Again, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open for you. We'd love to hear from you. I'm just returning this week from the Kingdom Advisors Conference last week. 2,000 Christian financial professionals, spouses, and students gathering together to worship the Lord, but also to think deeply about how they can use their practice to be their ministry and to apply biblical wisdom to the financial advice they give at a professional level to their clients. It was an amazing event down in beautiful Orlando, and we had some incredible speakers. One of those was the author and teacher and pastor Paul David Tripp. Here's something I'm still thinking about that he said, and there was so much that was shared last week that I'm still unpacking, but this was one of the things that he shared with us. He said, "The thing that is your treasure will control your heart. What controls your heart will control your words, behaviors, choices, and decisions. Think about that. The thing that is your treasure will control your heart. What is your treasure today? And how is that controlling and directing your heart, which will ultimately manifest itself through your words, your behaviors, your choices, and your decisions? If the things of this world are controlling your heart, you will orient your life in such a way to pursue those things. If, in fact, though the kingdom of God is your pursuit, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then that will control our behaviors and our choices and our decisions, and money will become a tool to support that. Well, perhaps that's a fundamentally different idea that you need to wrestle with today as you think about your role and as I think about my role in managing God's money. What an encouragement. All right, let's head to the phones today. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's start in Indiana. Glenn, thank you for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Good morning, sir. Hi. It's a blessing to be able to speak with you today.
Thank you.
My question is around an HSA with a high deductible health plan and how that works with Medicare. My wife and I both turn 65 next year. I'd like to continue to carry the high deductible health plan if I could, but I just wasn't sure how that all worked together. I thought there was some rules around Medicare and HSAs, but I'm really not certain how that works.
Yes. Well, it is a very, HSAs are a very effective retirement planning vehicle for a couple of reasons. Number one, it can help to bridge the gap to Medicare eligibility at age 65. So generally speaking, HSAs can't be used to pay private health insurance premiums, but there are two exceptions: paying for health care coverage purchased through an employee-sponsored plan under COBRA, and then paying premiums while receiving unemployment compensation. So this is, of course, true at any age, but it may be helpful if you lose your job or decide to stop working before turning age 65. You can use your HSA to pay certain Medicare expenses, including premiums for Part B and D prescription drug coverage, but not Medigap or supplemental policy premiums. And if you're over age 65, you have and you have employer-sponsored health coverage, an HSA can be used to pay your share of those costs as well. You can also use them for long-term care expenses. And you may know this, but once you hit 65, you can use your HSA to pay for any non-qualified medical expenses for any reason. Now, you don't get to take the full advantage of the tax savings because you'll be required to pay state and federal taxes on those distributions, but still, you're not paying a penalty. You had the tax deferred growth, and so now you're taking them out. All you're doing is paying state and federal tax, but you can use them even for non-qualified expenses. If you use them, of course, for qualified medical expenses, well, then you get the triple benefit that we love about HSAs, which is it went in tax-deferred, salary deferral, it grew tax-free, and then it comes out without paying any tax as long as you use it for qualified medical expenses. So I don't see a reason why you'd want to continue to carry a high-deductible health plan once you're on Medicare. Because I would, you know, drop that and go with the Medicare Advantage plan. But in the meantime, you know, can take advantage of having a health savings account, continuing to fund it until you get to that point, and then enjoy, you know, continuing to pull that money out for either medical or after 65 non-qualified medical expenses, you know, in the future. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I understand that. I love the HSA for all the reasons you just mentioned, and maybe a little bit of background on my situation. I'm a retired postal worker, so I'm carrying my FEHB into retirement with me, you know, with a high deductible health plan. So I guess my question more was around when I turn 65, Medicare eligible, I know I can't make contributions, but may I make contributions to my HSA up until that point, or does it cease? Do I have to stop it in next year at the beginning of the year?
You can't, once you go on to Medicare at age 65, then you can no longer make contributions.
But I may up until that point, or
yes,
or
up until you have, up until that point, you would be able to make contributions to it as long as you had a high deductible health plan in place.
Okay. And so it wouldn't be prorated like so many months of the year you made contribution against the maximum amount that you were allowed to contribute.
You mean in the year that you go on to Medicare?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure if there's a provision or not as to a prorated amount of the annual maximum. We could certainly look into that. That would be worth checking out. But the idea is that once you go on Medicare, clearly at that point, you're done making your contributions, and then you can take whatever you've built up and use that moving forward. But that's a good question. I would look into that a little further as to whether or not that gets prorated in the year that you go on to Medicare in that window when you turn 65 and you're no longer working or covered under an employee-sponsored plan.
All right.
Is that helpful?
Yes, sir. That helps a lot. Thanks so much for your time. God bless you.
All right, Glenn. Hey, God bless you and excited for you as you head into this next season of life. What are you thinking about? What is God calling you to as you transition out of your current employer?
I'm hoping to have more time to pursue ministry type things and devote more time to that than I've been able to in the past, for sure.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love the idea of retiring to something and not from something. Remember, God is, your calling doesn't have an expiration date. So I would be really purposeful about just asking him what he has for you in this next season of life as you have the most wisdom and experience to bring to your service to the Lord. God bless you, and thanks for being a part of the program today. We appreciate it very much. We've got some, Kim is waiting in Virginia, Glenda in Illinois, Alan in Tennessee. We'll be coming to you guys right around the corner. We also have a few lines open today with your financial questions at 800-525-7000. You know, as we think about our role in managing God's money, there are those practical ideas and decisions we need to be dealing with every day related to our money. But as we move back from that, we can apply principles from God's word, but I think it all starts with our identity. We don't want to find our identity in our money or the things of this world. We want to find our identity in Christ. And when we start there, well, it changes everything about the decisions and choices we make day to day. Much more to come on Faith and Finance just around the corner.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LightPointPortfolios.com.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Delighted you decided to join us today. We've got some phone lines open today. We'd love to hear what you're thinking about. 800-525-7000. Hey, it's the last day of February. You probably knew that. But as we approach the last day of any month, we're always mindful of our budget here at FaithFi. And as a listener-supported ministry, you can help us to reach our goals month to month by being a one-time or a monthly supporter. If you'd like to consider a gift, perhaps you've found some value in this ministry. Maybe you listen with regularity, or you're on our website at faithfi.com, or you use the FaithFi app. Well, we'd like to invite you to be a financial supporter of the ministry. You can do it quickly and easily three ways. You can head to our website, faithfi.com, and click Give. You can give through our secure form right there at faithfi.com. You can find the mailing address to send a check through the mail, or you can call the toll-free number and talk to someone on our team. Again, faithfi.com, just click Give. And thanks in advance for your support here at the end of the month. All right, back to the phones we go. Kim is in Virginia. You'll be our next caller. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Rob.
Sure.
Little background. My mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2020, and we were together for a couple of years back and forth between our two paid-for homes. I sold my home last year, and all of the proceeds sit in the bank until such time I purchase my next home and move my mother there with me. And I'm concerned that that's not good stewardship to just have it sitting there. And yet I'm concerned that if I put it in the market or in some other investment vehicle to try to earn some money, that might not be wise either if I pull the trigger and buy a home. Just looking for your thoughts.
Yeah, very good. So what is the time frame on when you would redeploy this money, I assume, into another home? What are you thinking?
Well, I like the word deploy. I've been using deployment a lot. I see my time with her in her home as a deployment. I'm thinking it could be 2 to 5 years.
Okay. All right. And at that point, you'd be looking to take that money and purchase another home. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So I think given that time horizon, because it could be as few as two and really genuinely anything less than five, we certainly don't want to put that at the risk of the market, because what could happen is, we put it in, we hit a recession this year, maybe it's a little deeper than we expect, and the market sells off quite a bit. And right about the time you need the money, you're having to sell investments at a loss. We really need to go in with a longer time frame of at least 5 years, preferably 10. So what are we looking at then as other options? Well, you could take advantage of a high yield savings account, getting about 3.5% interest. You could ladder some CDs. So maybe you do a third of it in a 6 month, a third of it in a 1 year, and a third of it in an 18 month CD. And then every 6 months you roll it over as a third of it comes due. And you would always have, be only 18 months away from having access to the funds. Maybe you want to stay on the shorter end. Maybe it's just 6 and 12 months. And then every 6 months you've got, half of it coming due. But, that would give you a little bit more yield. You could look at, money market. Money markets have not been very exciting in the past just because rates have been so low. But, we can get better rates now on money markets, up where, you could get 4.5% on a money market with some of the big brand name brokerage firms. And, that would give you a decent rate of return with complete liquidity. So that would be an option as well. But those would be the types of things I would be looking at, just given your time frame here, Kim. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you. It's the time frame that remains uncertain, and I appreciate your comment about our identity being in Christ.
Absolutely.
We plan accordingly.
Well, that's exactly right, Kim. And, you know, I'm just encouraged by the care you're giving to your mom in this season of life. You know, caring for aging parents is challenging, and yet it's what we're called to do. And so I know God is using you in that way, and there's a lot of uncertainty around that. But I'm confident your ministry to her is an incredible blessing. So thank you for modeling that and sharing that with us today. And if we can help in any way in the future, please let us know. 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Roel is in Texas. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, I have a quick question. I'm thinking of selling my house, and I want to gift the majority of the proceeds to maybe three of my children, and I'm trying to find out if I can do that or not.
Yeah, absolutely. So what did you have in mind, Roel? Give me just a sense of the timing and the amount you're thinking.
Well, what I'm trying to do is give most likely each one, two of them probably around 40 to 60,000 in each, and one of them I plan on giving somewhere around 500.
Okay. All right. Around 500,000?
500,000, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you can absolutely do that. So anytime you go beyond the annual $17,000 gift tax exclusion, which you can gift any individual up to $17,000 a year and you don't have to let the IRS know, when you go beyond that in any individual calendar year, then you just file the IRS gift form 709. You could Google that, IRS gift form 709, or if you use a tax preparer, they would file that with your return. And then that amount would be counted against your lifetime exemption, which stands today at $12.06 million. So still not taxable to anybody. It would just eat away at that lifetime exemption. But as long as you don't plan, at least based on the current regulations, as long as you don't plan to give away more than $12 million throughout your lifetime, then, you know, you can do that as well. And so you'd be perfectly entitled to make that gift. I think the key is just to pray through the timing on that and make sure that, you know, these family members that you're giving this to are prepared for that, because that kind of money dropped in your lap, if you're not ready for it spiritually and financially, in terms of it not being something that draws you away from the Lord, but draws you to Him, and that there's financial responsibility there. It doesn't take away their ability to earn a living, which, you know, is important. But as long as you really thought and prayed through that, you can absolutely do it. You'll just need to file that gift tax form. Thanks so much for your call, Roel. More of your questions just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
The core of all of the difficulty that we endure here as human beings, it comes down to this: God's word or man's word. One of the major features that has contributed to this degradation of society in our country, in America in particular, is that we have lost our understanding of the transcendent, surpassing glory of God.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit FaithFi.com and click Give on the homepage.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we focus on loving God and not our money. Because when we love money, well, it leads us away from our faith in God. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Loving money makes it an idol. Matthew 22 says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And when we love money, well, it's really never enough. Ecclesiastes 5 tells us, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. So let's replace that with our love for God, seeking his kingdom with full abandon, putting him in his rightful place and first position in our lives, and allowing money to become a tool to support our pursuit of God's kingdom. Perhaps that will change everything as you reconsider that today. All right, 800-525-7000, still plenty of time left for your questions and thoughts today. Maybe you have a testimony of God's faithfulness in your life as you've applied these principles financially. We'd love to hear that as well. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Arkansas. Alan, you've been very patient. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Got a couple questions.
Sure.
Hey, I found out this year that I owe IRS $4,600.
Okay.
For last year. I don't have any money in savings or nothing like that. What would be the best way to take care of that? Monthly payments? Been thinking about seeing if I could get a grant maybe to pay that off?
Yes. Probably not a grant available, but you can work on a payment agreement with the IRS, and that would probably be the better way to go. They will be very willing to work with you for you to keep this current. I think the key is for you to engage them in that conversation. Do you have the ability to start paying this back over time, Alan?
Yeah. I mean, and don't take me a while, but yeah. I'd like to get it paid off as soon as possible, too.
Okay, very good. There is at IRS.gov, you could read about, exactly how to go about this. The IRS has a very helpful website. Essentially, what you do is contact them. You could click on the link that says make a payment, and, you could go that way, or you could work on a payment plan with them that allows you to, start a plan to pay that balance off over time, including any penalty and interest, of course. And the IRS has put in place a number of changes with this because of the pandemic. But, typically you pay it off over 180 days. That would at least give you a little bit of time. If you need longer than that, you could see about having an enrolled agent or a CPA represent you. There's also something called an offer in compromise, which is a program where they will settle the debt for less than the full amount owed. But qualifying for that can be difficult. So I think, you know, what would be best is if you had somebody representing you that understands this and can, you know, help to work out the plan with the IRS that's going to fit with your budget. Do you normally use a tax preparer, Alan?
Just the big box stores, H&R Block. But yeah, okay. I think I'm best to go find me a CPA.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea in this case, and particularly somebody who has experience with representation before the IRS and can talk you through your options there. But here's the bottom line. They will work with you. You can pay this over time. I think the key is to, you know, change the situation going forward to make sure that you either have the right amount being withheld or you're paying in on a quarterly basis so you don't get into this situation again. And hopefully right. You can get on a payment plan that's going to allow you to get this paid back over time. So I would reach out to a CPA. You can also start doing some research on your own at irs.gov. And we'll hope this works out for you, my friend. Thanks for calling to be a part of the program. God bless you. 800-525-7000 to Texas. Hey, Cassie, go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Yes, I'm 64 and a half. I was just going to run this by you to see if you could see if what I'm going to do or might do is what I should do.
Okay.
I'm 64 and a half. My job income has changed to the point where I'm not going to make it starting next month. I'm not going to be able to continue with all the bills that I have, which I have no debt. I just have my mortgage and then my two vehicles,
okay,
which I'm self-employed. And so the IRS, if I'm not mistaken, they require me to have another vehicle to not use the vehicle that I'm currently using for both, for personal and employment. So I'm kind of thinking I'm going to have to get rid of that other vehicle, though, because of just I'm just trying to figure out what to do. But my question is, I've talked to Social Security, and if I start drawing Social Security now, then the amount of money that I cannot or that I can make while doing that is not going to be enough by any means. I'm making more than that by continuing to work. So that means I'm going to have to start taking money out of something, which I'm planning on it being taking it out of my transfer on death account as part of my retirement that I have set aside. What do you recommend?
Yeah. So what is, you said you're 64 and a half. And so what is your full retirement age?
If I'm not mistaken, it's 66 and 8 months.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So obviously, if you can get to that point,
you know.
Yeah. If you get to that point, you can earn as much as you want. If you're under full retirement age, they deduct $1 from your benefits for every $2 you earn above the limit. And that limit for this year is $21,240.
Yes.
Okay.
The amount they
gave. Yeah, and then in the year in which you reach full retirement age, they deduct $1 for every $3 you earn above a different limit, and they only count the earnings before the month that you reach your full retirement age. So if you reach your full retirement age in 2023, for example, that limit on your earnings for the months before full retirement age is $56,520. So it jumps up quite a bit. But the key is getting to that point. Now, keep in mind that reduction, if you earn over $21,000, prior to full retirement age is temporary in the sense that, yes, it does reduce your benefit, but once you reach full retirement age, they will give that back to you over time in the form of a higher check until you're fully repaid for that amount. So it's not a permanent loss. So it still may make sense if that really is the key. If collecting early is the key to you covering your bills, you still may end up with more by starting to collect plus your work income, even with the reduction, and then eventually you'll get that back, you know, down the road. Does that make sense?
I think so, but it sounds like you're saying the best thing to do right now is to go ahead and start collecting it.
Potentially. I mean, I think the other option is you draw from other accounts and let that continue to build. So let's do this. You stay on the line, and we'll talk just after this break a bit more about your situation. And then John will be coming your way next as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is Faith and Finance Live, where we recognize God owns it all, and we're stewards, so money's a tool, and ultimately we need to seek first the kingdom. We want to make God our treasure and allow money to help us accomplish His purposes. We're taking your calls and questions here at 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Cassie in Texas. She's 64 and a half and wondering about taking Social Security early in order to cover her expenses. She'll need to work beyond the limit of $21,240, which if she took her benefit, not only would she lock in a permanent reduction prior to full retirement age, but she'd have a further reduction for the income that she earns above that limit that's temporary. She'd get that back. But Cassie, as we were talking, you said you also have the ability perhaps to cover this gap and let that Social Security continue to grow, which, you know, every year you take it early, you're going to reduce it permanently by about 8%. So obviously, if you could let it grow and lock in that higher benefit, especially if that higher benefit would allow you to cover your bills for the rest of your life, it might make sense to go ahead and cover that gap with other assets. So give me a sense of what else you have that's available in liquid assets.
Not really anything. I mean, like I said, I would have to take the money out of my, it's one of my investment accounts, and it's the transfer on death account. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. What's the balance of that?
Oh, goodness.
Roughly.
Well, the total in the whole thing, I mean, it's not that much. It's about 112. So in that account, I mean, I'd have to go look. I just don't have it in front of me, and I don't want to hold you up.
That's okay. Yeah, so it's around 112, and that's really all you have in the way of retirement assets. Is that right?
Yes. Not much, but...
Okay. And have you looked at your benefit statement from the Social Security Administration, and do you know what you would receive if you wait until full retirement age?
Yes.
And how does that square with what you're going to need for your retirement budget?
I'm going to need probably, as of this moment, about $1,400 to $1,500 a month.
Okay. And what will you get if you wait until full retirement age, roughly?
Oh, gosh. Hang on a second.
Well, I think that's the exercise that you need to go through. I would really dial into that budget first and make sure you have a good understanding of what it's going to take every month for you to cover your bills. Remember, in retirement, most people spend 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income. The reason it's lower is they're no longer saving for retirement. You know, maybe they less gas, less, you know, work clothes, less eating out because they're not out at lunch, those kinds of things. I mean, when you factor all that in, maybe you drop your life insurance if you had some, cause us to live on less than we were when we were working. So let's get an accurate reflection of what that retirement budget really is going to look like. But let's also be realistic in terms of the things that you actually need to cover over a 12-month period. You know, even those semi-annual non-recurring type expenses like an HOA or quarterly insurance premium or something like that. Let's get all that in the budget, and then let's look and compare that to Social Security. It sounds like you're really going to be in a better spot if you just let that Social Security grow as long as you can. So I think given that, which you probably...
If I wait until retirement age, it's going to be 1832.
Okay. Well, that sounds like that should cover it.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yeah, if I'm able to continue working. So you said I can continue working as long as I wait until my retirement age to start collecting Social Security.
Well, you can work either way. It's just that if you pull it, if you take it early and you go above the limit of 21,240 prior to the year you reach full retirement age, then you're going to have it reduced a dollar for every $2 you earn above the limit. And so it may not end up being a whole lot, and then you'll get that back. The bigger issue that I'm wondering about is if you can wait to start collecting that until full retirement age, then you're not going to reduce that benefit permanently, because for every year you or take that early, you're going to reduce it by 8% or 1/12 of that every month prior to full retirement age. So I'd love for you to let that check grow as long as you can, because if you can get that up to a number that's sustainable moving forward, then you've got that to count on for the rest of your life. So if you were to have to pull from the TOD, you know, and to get you to that point, then I'd probably do that. And obviously the longer you can work and the longer you can delay taking it, the better. Because even if you waited beyond full retirement age up until age 70, you could end up getting, you know, perhaps 3 more years of 8%. So you could increase that check by another 25% for the rest of your life if you were able to continue to work. So I think you need to go back to your budget, take a hard look at what your expenses really are going to be, and then let's wait as long as we can to take Social Security. And if you have to bridge the gap with those investments, you certainly could do that. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Cassie. We appreciate you checking with us today, and God bless you. To Mississippi, hi, John. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, how you doing? I really enjoyed the show. I just wanted to ask real quick. I heard a caller earlier about the gift of $17,500 per annual. How does that affect the recipients of that? Do they have to claim that as an income?
No, not at all. There's no tax due as you receive that, you know, that gift. And so it's not taxable to you. It's not taxable to them when they receive it. For you, it goes against either the annual exclusion of gift exemption of $17,000 or then against the lifetime exemption, which is now north of $12 million. But you would not pay tax on it. You'd just notify the IRS in gift tax form 709, and then they would not pay any tax on the gift as they receive it.
And is that only a cash contribution, or can that be property or assets as well?
No, there wouldn't be any taxes due. They're the only in terms of income taxes, there could be a capital gain tax when it's sold, you know, on the appreciation from the cost basis. But there wouldn't be any income tax on that gift.
Oh, okay, so I could donate land. Taxes, as long as it's not taxes, land and property to my children and grandchildren without any tax obligation to them as well.
That's exactly right. Now, so you'd always want to check with your CPA, but you would want to, you know, make sure you understand the implications from a capital gain standpoint. And, you know, keep in mind, the one of the key considerations here is if you pass it to them as a gift, they're going to inherit that current cost basis on that asset versus receiving that as an inheritance. They'll get a stepped up basis. So you just need to make sure that it in fact makes sense for you to go ahead and do that now versus waiting, because if they receive it at death and you've got a low cost basis on, for instance, a piece of property, they're going to pay the capital gains on the sale based on your cost basis if they receive it as a gift. If they receive it as an inheritance, the cost basis is stepped up to the current market value as of the date of death. And so if they turn around and sell it at that point, they basically won't pay any tax because there's no inheritance tax. And then, they wouldn't have any capital gains either. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. That's great information. Thank you very much.
All right. You're very welcome, John. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate your generosity to your kids. You know, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. And as we think about a biblical worldview of money management, you know, the key, I think, for us is we're constantly being bombarded with the messages of this world. And we've got to fight against that in every area of our lives as followers of Christ, as parents, as citizens of the United States of America, but also as money managers, as God's money managers, because we're managing the resources of the King of Kings. The problem is if we take our cues from the world, well, we'll get swept up in a materialistic society that really is based on greed and in many cases promotes, you know, fear and discontentment. The whole purpose of marketing is to make you discontent with what you have. Well, one of the ways you overcome that is to counteract that with a biblical worldview, which is what American Family Radio is all about here on this program and all the programs up and down the lineup every day. And so the opportunity we have is to stay in God's Word and renew our minds and understand that God's ways are higher than our own. And when we look at everything, including His resources that we're managing through the lens of Scripture, then at that point, we have the opportunity to really put it in its proper context. Money then serves its proper role, which if we look at it through a biblical worldview, means that it's a tool. Yeah, it's something that God uses in my life to teach me to rely on Him and put my security in Him. It's also a tool to accomplish His purposes. It's a tool to buy things for myself and others, but it's a test as well. Here's how. You know, it's a test in the sense that we can help, it can help us determine whether we're relying on money in place of God or whether we value earthly riches over eternal riches. It's a test in our lives. It's also a testimony. Think about this. Our willingness to trust God when we have little or to share generously when we have much provides witness to an unbelieving world. So as we consider God's Word in light of the resources we've been entrusted, perhaps think about it differently today, not taking your cues from God's Word, but going back to God's Word to really understand God's heart and really pursue Him first and allow money to be a tool to accomplish that. I hope this has been an encouragement to you today. I'm so thankful for you being along with us today, for your calls and your stories and your questions. It's always a joy to gather with you. On behalf of my team today, Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. We'll hope you come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. In the meantime, may God bless you. Take care.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.